It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. We're still talking Penn State football. We're shifting from recruiting, which will be a running theme all spring, all summer, all the time, really. That never takes a day off. But we're also looking at Penn State in spring. The blue-white game obviously wrapped up spring practices. Showed us a few things on the field, on the tape, that we're just trying to interpret whether that's something that's going to fit into what Penn State's doing in 2018 or whether it was just flash and you didn't see a lot of, and it's not going to be viable. I'll use the example from last spring of John Holland, for example. Had a big spring game. I think he led the game in receptions.
Yeah.
Got some opportunities and kind of made the most of them. Then we really never saw him or heard from him again. That includes this blue-white game.
Right.
So it happens, but there's some legitimate stuff that ends up unfolding there too. And certainly KJ Hamler was the talk of spring, and you saw, I think, you know, he touched the ball twice, he fumbled it once. He showed special quickness and speed, and I think that is something that Penn State is looking to get in its lineup anyway.
Yeah.
But especially Hamler showed a lot in the spring. I don't know the extent of his role. I don't think he's an every down player by any means, but I think that Penn State has got a bunch of wide receivers, and he's going to be one that mixes and matches in there, can give you a little different look. Brandon Polk can give you a little different look too, end arounds and that kind of thing. Penn State's got suddenly a little speed to burn there. KJ Hamler, nobody faster or quicker than him.
No doubt about it. Penn State will be able to use that guy in a number of different ways, just like all of its receivers. The question I have is, how does Tompkins, Polk, Hamler, Shorter all add up? I don't know if you saw it, but Justin Shorter's dad tweeted a video of Justin running the back end of a 4x100 at the Penn Relays. The kid's unfair, man. I mean, he is enormous. He's 6'4", 225, and he just got the baton and blew some kids away. So,
you know what's funny about the way he runs, though, is that if you weren't looking at him from the waist down, you would just think that he was standing still.
Right.
Like, he's so quiet and still up top, and it makes it look very effortless. He's very upright when he runs, which is fine. As a wide receiver, that's fine. As a running back, that's something that people will use to ding you down the road. But his long speed is something. And I think what you saw from him, not to go too far off course, was through the opening and all the camps and stuff last summer, he knows how to get off the line of scrimmage too. And if you don't get your hands on him right off the bat,
yeah,
he's got that kind of quickness, but he's got that long speed to be a real true down the field threat. And that makes him a little bit different than all these other wide receivers in Penn State's position room now. Juwan Johnson, you know, we talked about earlier in the week, great player, great prospect, big guy, big hands, reliable. Can he get deep? Justin Shorter, I think, is Penn State's best deep option right off the bat, whether he does or does not end up making that sudden impact.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this is a guy that's going to come in and play really from day one, and I think that's what will make what we saw in the blue-white game interesting to follow up on a little bit further down the road, because Justin, some of these guys are going to have to lose reps if Justin Shorter is going to come in and get them. So I'm not sure who that would be, but you have Tompkins, you have Polk, you have Hamler, you have some other guys. So there's a lot of potential in this group, but not a lot of balls to go around. So we'll see.
I think that starting the year, and I want to talk about a couple of these other wide receivers too. I think starting the year, Penn State's going to use all of them. And then you know how seasons go from week 1 to 12 or 13 or 14 or 15, however many games Penn State ends up playing.
Yeah.
It can evolve, and you can see guys lose reps as the season goes too. I think it has all the makings of this group. They're going to use everybody. They've got some guys they seem to be grooming to do inside and outside work.
Yeah.
How Justin Shorter comes along when he arrives in June, he's going to have to do it quickly. But That's going to go a long way towards dictating how many snaps are available. But I think Penn State's position, the wide receiver spot, is going to be a work in progress for a lot of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think that Penn State will obviously be rotating guys through a pretty good amount early on just to sort of get a feel for what they have, who can do what, who can do this, who can do that. And it's a lot to figure out for David Corley. I think the one thing that Penn State loses with Josh Gattis is the familiarity of all these guys and who does what well. And it's not to say that David Corley can't pick it up quick, but he's also trying to learn how Penn State recruits, how Penn State's offense runs, how Penn State wants its practices to run, all of James Franklin's little quirks. So he has a lot on his plate and a lot to figure out this year.
Mac Hippenhammer was maybe this, I would say, the story of the blue-white game with the two touchdown catches, two very different touchdown catches. One was a little out route. I don't remember the yardage, but it was within about 10 yards, I think. The other one was a deep ball. One, he was facing coverage at the line of scrimmage. One was some off coverage where he had some room to operate. I saw there somebody who I think he strikes me as having maybe a little bit better feel for the position than KJ Hamler, but KJ Hamler can make up for a lot by just being as quick as he is. But Hippenhammer, I think this was a, you know, when we get back to the name of the segment, fact or fiction, I think there's a lot of fact-based conclusion you can draw from Hippenhammer. I know it's a spring game and I know that he wasn't really running against ones, but, I saw some pretty good stuff from him that makes me think that he'll be a factor sooner than a lot of people thought he would be.
Man, I'm going to call that fiction. I'm just not there with you.
I'm going to call you fiction.
I agree with you, but I just get
it's
a little
crowded.
Bit of the it's crowded, and I just got a little bit of the John Holland from last year. I get like that kind of feeling out of that. Death. Yeah. So we'll see, though. I will say this. Hippenhammer is freaking impressive, man. I mean, this is a guy that did so well academically that James Franklin allowed him to play baseball before football spring practice started, and now he's going to go back and finish the baseball season now that it's over. That's impressive. I mean, that is a level of dedication and you know, a work ethic that we don't see very much. So he has all that going for him. I just don't know if you know, this is the time, the year he cracks it and lives up to what that blue-white game did for him.
If you look at what Penn State has, so certainly with DeAndre Tompkins, Juwan Johnson, you have guys who immediately are at the top of the heap there for snaps. You also have KJ Hamler, who is a different player, who brings a new dynamic to the offense. Justin Shorter coming in. It's a crowded house. Even though Penn State lost a couple guys in Hamilton and Saeed Blacknall, it's still a crowded house. And I don't think 18's the year for Hippenhammer, but I think that he proved something going beyond the 2018 season. Cam Sullivan Brown was another guy who, you know, he competed and he caught the ball at the highest point. I think he showed some nice things too. But if Mac Hippenhammer was fiction, Cam Sullivan Brown was really fiction for 2018.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's just, I guess the one question that we'll have to answer as the season gets closer and really as it starts is, what is Penn State going to plan to do with Tommy Stevens? Because that's going to have an impact, I think, on the receiver group too. If it is committed to putting Danny Dalton or Zach Kuntz or Pat Freiermuth, or if they would ever get healthy, John Holland or Nick Bowers on the field every play like Mike Gesicki, who are they going to take off then when Stevens comes on? Is it going to be the tight end like it was under Joe Moorhead, or is it going to be a receiver? That could play a factor too. But, I mean, you know, in this receiver conversation, you have Daniel George coming in. You have Jahan Dotson coming in. Some guys that we thought were going to be really good when they got here as recruits are probably going to be passed over, and or the guys we think that are good that are coming in aren't going to be as good as we think they are. But it's a good problem to have if you're Penn State, not so much if you're their guys trying to earn the playing time.
Does Penn State have too many good wide receivers? Is the thing. And you tend to typecast wide receivers like, you know, Brandon Polk and DeAndre Tompkins, Mac Hippenhammer, Cam Sullivan Brown are that like tweener guy. They're not the 6'4 guy. They're not the burners. They're the guys who make an impact in different ways. And it's hard to forecast their impact right away. But it'll be interesting. And then especially with Jahan Dotson, who I think was built to play the slot position.
Yeah.
Penn State's got a lot of bodies there, and it's anybody's guess how that all plays out. What about Michael Mennett as your definitive right guard? That seems
fact.
Like a fact.
Yeah, it's hard to get around that. I mean, the question I still have, though, is what are they going to do with Will Fries? I mean, I was just blown away that Chaz Wright was outworking him in terms of the spring game depth chart. So, I mean, obviously he was someone that most of us, I think, thought was really progressing and really about to take the next step. But he has a lot of work to do, it would seem, based on what we saw in the spring game.
And, yeah, so that was another part, was Ryan Bates at left tackle. Seems like fact, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think if you're looking for a guy who checks off all the boxes and really has that trust and confidence of James Franklin, he's your guy on the left side. But Chaz Wright at right tackle, do you think that's Chaz Wright over Will Fries at right tackle is something to watch, I guess?
Yeah, it's fact right now, but I'll be curious to see if he lands or if they start moving guys around. I think we could still maybe see Mennett moved into center. I doubt it, but I wouldn't rule it out yet, and that could change things up too.
Yeah, I asked Ross Tucker about this last week. He said that in terms of body type, Michael Mennett is more appropriate at center and Connor McGovern is more appropriate at guard.
Guard, yeah.
But it does require a certain transition now, right, with the season looming closer and closer and closer.
Right.
Is that a transition you're willing to make?
Right. Yeah, it's weird because it feels like we're very, very far from the class or the 2018 season getting here. But, I mean, we're really, you know, at this point about, what, 3 or 4 months? And, you know, you get to the point now where coaches can do more with guys during the off season. It used to be the strength coaches could interact with them, and the actual position coach had to leave them alone. It's not really the case anymore, but it would be a pretty big hurdle to deal with.
Danny Dalton, is he the last man standing at tight end?
It sure feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, it sure feels like he is the guy that basically is going to win based off of nothing more than the fact that he'll be in a position to thrive. So, yeah, I think that when it comes down to it for him is, will he be good enough to be good enough for Penn State, if that makes sense? So will he be able to really shine and really thrive and show other schools and other teams what he's about, or, you know, opponents what he's about, or is it just a little bit more inconsistent as it's been in the past?
And then I think the last thing here, Sean Clifford as the quarterback of, I say quarterback of the future, but, you know, if everything shakes out how you think it's going to shake out and Tommy Stevens is your starting quarterback next year, then you're looking at maybe 2 seasons of Sean Clifford starting. But is he the definitive leader in the clubhouse, ready, feel comfortable with him being the leader of your offense for 2 years?
Yeah, I would say fact to that. I do. I think that you look at all the intangibles, and you can get into trouble talking about intangibles because sometimes they just feel like crutches to make an argument that you don't really have anything else to make. But to me, I do see it him as a guy that can take care of that kind of role and really thrive in it as well.
I know it's a spring game and you can only draw so much from what you see, but the game just doesn't look too big or too fast for him out there. And
right.
Again, it's with the caveat that it is a spring game, but he just looks calm and comfortable, and I like that. All right, we're going to do the same thing here. We talked about more offense. Fact or fiction from the blue-white game, looking at defense, is coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.